Hello. Welcome back to another episode of The Monsters Within. So, we're back here. Back in our cozy, safe, non-commitment, non-judgment, safe haven. If you're new here, take a second. Take a deep breath. And let it out. You're here. Throw away all that judgment, commitment to finishing this episode. Just relax. For those of you who have been keeping up on my Facebook, I was sick last week. So, I wasn't able to record this episode. I didn't have a voice, and that made it extremely difficult to bring you any kind of content. But I'm back now, feeling much better, and I have a voice again, so here we are. Come on, what's the episode about this time, Holly? Well, I've got a pretty decent one for you guys tonight. And it's about the stress monster. Now, if you're thinking, what is the stress monster? Let's give it a name. Its name is PTSD. A stress monster, because the way you handle stress is the way you handle dangerous situations. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, come on, you like to define these things, so it's confusing. All right, hold your horses. What is it? Well, it's otherwise known as post-traumatic stress disorder. And it develops in people who have experienced shocking, scary, or dangerous events in their lives, such as war, sudden death, car crashes, and horrific life events, such as rape, molestation, abduction, human trafficking. These are just some of the big ones. Most people naturally recover from these traumatic events, but those who don't are the ones who become diagnosed with PTSD, and it's due to an unmanageable level of stress, keyword there, and fear. Now you're kind of getting why I'm calling it a stress monster. PTSD can crop up at any age. I mean, any age. You could be a small child or somebody in the elderly range. There is no certain time where a human is immune to traumatic events. I've never known anybody in my life to ever be immune to traumatic events. Now, 7 or 8 people out of 100 will experience some kind of degree of PTSD at some point in their lives. You could be older and you fall down a flight of stairs, and now you are suffering from PTSD because that was such a traumatic event in your life. Or you're a child and you saw Five Nights at Freddy's for the first time, and now you're scared of animatronics. Anyways. So, those are just examples of, you know, how people handle the stress. Now, there's a lot of factors that come into play when considering a diagnosis for PTSD, such as risk factors and resistance factors. So, what are risk factors? Living through a dangerous event or trauma, getting injured, seeing others get hurt or seeing a dead body, childhood trauma, feeling horror, fear, or helplessness, having little to no social support after a traumatic event, having a history of mental illness or substance abuse. Now, I thought the whole substance abuse thing was a little weird. And due to a little bit of lack of time, I wasn't able to research that one further, but I would in the future. So, another topic for another day. So, what are resistant factors? It's seeking out support. Learning how to feel good about the actions you took during that time of danger. Positive coping strategies. And moving past the fear of the danger. Now, studies have shown that these two factors are extremely important. And so, doctors and psychologists are now putting a lot more study into why these factors are so important, and they're hoping that someday it'll help be able to predict somebody's likelihood of getting PTSD. That's pretty cool. Now, let's move on. We've got causes and symptoms. Okay, so chronic PTSD is somewhat rare in most people, and most people actually only deal with PTSD for a short amount of time, and I revert back to that statement of people naturally recover from traumatic incidences. However, it's not impossible to suffer from chronic PTSD. I had short-term PTSD myself, so it's a concept for me that I can't quite grasp, but I can relate. Now, symptoms of PTSD start about 3 months after the traumatic event, but they have been known to start years later. So, a war veteran coming back from a war seems to be fine, and then years later they develop PTSD. It's been very known to happen. Now, in order to be diagnosed, symptoms have to persist for more than a month, and they need to be severe enough to influence choices to also interfere with daily activities. And sadly, there's no way for us to detect if somebody has PTSD right after a traumatic situation. And the only way our doctors can diagnose us is if we, for lack of a better word, suffer. And I know it sounds harsh, but it's just the reality of the matter. Because we had a test that told us that this person was suffering from this, this, and this disorder right when they're born, we're automatically slapping a label onto a person who may or may not develop these things, and that is strictly going off of genetics. So, it's a necessary evil for us to have to learn how to cope with these stressful situations. So, moving on. This disability varies from person to person. Some people recover within a 6-month period, while others continue to suffer for more years, or they just become diagnosed with chronic depression. PTSD, I'm sorry. Now, symptoms include 1, re-experiencing symptom, 1, avoidance symptom, 2, arousal and reactivity symptom, and 2, cognitive and mood symptom. Whoa, Holly. What is all of this? I don't get it. Don't worry. I'm here to explain. Now, when I was reading this article, I thought that it was very messily put together. But as I read on, I started to realize that, this is just how they set it up and they explain. And that's kind of how my own notes went. So, take a minute. I'm going to explain everything. Let's start with re-experiencing. Those include flashbacks, bad dreams, and frightening thoughts. Now, these thoughts, feelings, words, objects, and situations can all trigger a re-experiencing symptom. So, a thought about crashing into the car in front of you automatically sends you into a flashback. Or a word of car crash sets you off and makes you have a bad dream that night. These are kind of the things that happen with re-experiencing. And the name of it is pretty self-explanatory. So let's go into avoidance. Now, this means that you're staying away from places, events, or objects that remind you of that traumatic event that you went through. Avoiding thoughts or feelings that trigger remembering that traumatic event. It causes people to change parts of their lives to escape reliving that event, hence avoidance. Now, arousal and reactivity. These are more easily startled or frightened, feeling tense or on edge, having difficulty sleeping, and angry outbursts. These symptoms are normally consistent instead of being triggered. So, anger, stress, not being able to sleep, inability to do daily tasks, are some signs that you're dealing with arousal and reactivity. So, cognitive and mood symptoms are trouble remembering key events or features from that traumatic experience, negative thoughts about oneself or the world, feeling guilty or placing blame, and losing interest in favorite activities. Cognition and mood symptoms are not caused by the injury. You can't damage cognition without damaging the brain, but that's a wholly different topic for another day. Cognition is our ability to understand. So, people with these symptoms tend to feel isolated, alienated, disoriented, and detached from people who they hold near and dear. Now, I would like to share with you all my own personal experience with PTSD. There is a reason. reason that I'm going to slap an E-label on this episode. As a preteen, we had some family come and live with us. There was a kid around my age who was staying in the home with me and my family. And something happened. Mother was not aware of it until much later, but this event caused me to suffer from mild PTSD, and I didn't know how to handle it. It was very, very difficult for me to understand, and I would look at myself and I would think I'm dirty or I'm disgusting and I don't deserve love. I don't deserve happiness. I'm just some object that is meant to be used. And one out of 10 women who experience rape don't have a problem getting back into sexual activities, and as that one person who didn't shy away from that, I felt very wrong and even more confused than I already was about the entire situation. It made me feel like I had deserved it or I had wanted it, and that wasn't the case at all. I just wasn't willing to play the victim, and I think I knew that very early on. And this isn't even the first time that I had experienced PTSD. I later experienced it through my daughter's father, who would physically abuse me and alienate me and trap me within the home. And later on, I would flinch away from people who moved too close or moved too quickly towards me or raised a hand towards me, and it would break people's hearts because why is she acting like this? Like, we mean no harm, and I know that and they know that, but I couldn't get away from the chains that he had put on me. And later on, I learned to grow from that and move forward and be the person I am today. And through all of these situations, I am extremely grateful that I got to experience them, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't be sitting down here with all of you talking about all this stuff and having a personal insight on what it's like to experience these disabilities and these disorders. So, as weird as it sounds, I want to thank the people who have hurt me in my life, because you've been able to bless me with such an amazing point of view. So, as weird as it sounds, I'm extremely grateful. Come on, guys, you gotta check out Uber. It is a great company. They do awesome work. It's just a little pocket AI who helps you work through all of your extra baggage and everything that's going on with you. So And you know where the link is. It's down in the description. Go check it out, please. Come on, guys. It's free. 2020 is the perfect time. Even though we're coming to an end, it's the perfect time for all of us to jump on board with getting our mental and emotional health back in check, because a new year is just around the bend. I want you guys to know that at any point in time, you can message me on Facebook, Instagram, hit up my email. You can hit me up down in the comment section on YouTube. Just come and talk. Come share your story. Come share ideas. I don't say it's a safe space for nothing. So, next week, be back. I'll be here. Unless I get sick. But that's not gonna happen. Alright, guys. Hey, if nobody's told you this today, I'm glad you're here. Good night.